time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. You are now talking with TD. Another week, another little bit closer towards Christmas. Christmas, we had it in the draft. We'll have it in the season release. We'll have it in training camp. And then we will also have it in the season opener. It just, football is a gift that keeps on giving. So there's a lot to get into. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the gift that you guys got already, right? And number one draft pick, Cam Ward. We'll get into just the way this Titans team, Brian Callahan and crew, need to manage making things comfortable and bringing him along. We'll touch on that. We got Run TMC coming up. Get a little talk from rookie minicamp way, way back in the day with Chris Sanders, forever Titan receiver. Got that. And, man, we got to get into the schedule, too. So we'll look at some of the key points in the schedule. Like, maybe not the dates as much as just, hey, what are some games that really stand out? So we'll do all that. But first things first, Parker, what's going on, man?
TD, it seems like Christmas happens like six times a year at this point.
But, that's what I'm saying.
You know, I'm not going to complain because we got to go out to Titans rookie minicamp on Saturday, and it just felt great to be out there once again.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really good to be out there, and I love the energy that the Rooks had and seeing them. No veteran invites this time, unlike last year where we had Shane Ray in the building. No veteran invites and no 7-on-7, no team period. It was all just instructional. So I know there's a lot of questions on, hey, how does so-and-so look? How did this person look? Everybody is going to look pretty good, right? Out there, routes on air and just, you know, rushing against nothing and doing all those things. I think that the key part was just, you know, seeing how guys caught the football. And I tell you this, Xavier Restrepo, it's very clear he's comfortable catching the football. It's very clear that he's a polished. He was probably the most polished out of the receivers there. That's not to say he's the best, right? Because obviously you have Alec Iomanner, you have Chimere DK. You know, these are all guys that, you know what I mean, they really believe in and they feel are going to have a role. Early hot take for you, Parker. I think Alec Iomanner is the starting X receiver, you know, when they go spread.
That's not a hot take with me because I think the same thing. I mean, I just think, we talked about it last week, the quantity of receivers that the Titans have on the roster as it stands right now is pretty good.
Right.
The quality is, you know, where
still more to begin.
Right. So, and I still can't believe that Alec Iomanner fell to the fourth round because in my mind, I thought he was a day two guy. He'd be gone by that point.
Really?
So I really believe the Titans got a steal at that point in the draft, and I absolutely think he's starting X week one.
No, not only did he fall to the fourth round, he was at the back end of the fourth. Like, they traded into the back part of the fourth round to take him.
Right, the Titans picked DK before they got Alec Iomanner. So
I thought it would have been the reverse. Now, I'll admit, like, I haven't been crazy about him throughout the process. I'll definitely admit that. But that's one of the things I like about getting to meet them. One of the things I like about getting to talk to them. You kind of could get a feel. I love how he said that, you know, he's just a dog. And, like, he got that dog from playing hockey. He talked about, because I asked him about the combat catches, you know, contested catches that he makes. And he said it's a mindset. And it's, like, those are the things that you want to hear. So that's pretty dope. I think that's going to be a good part of the plan, right, to get Cam Ward in order and allow him to be the impact player that he's capable of being. And speaking of the plan, that's what I actually want to touch on. And so when you look at this situation, right, Brian Callahan, he said that every year they kind of start from the ground up and they build that way. This year, obviously, with Cam Ward, he's going to be the starter. It's very likely, and barring some type of extreme meltdown, he's going to be the starter. So that being said, as you start install, for you just looking at it, how important – do you think it is for them to make sure that they institute some of the Miami passing concepts and even go back to the spread looks? Because it's funny, right? Because you look, Shannon Dawson consulted with Eric Morris. Shannon Dawson's Miami OC. Eric Morris was the OC at Washington State and head coach at Carnon Word, now the head coach at North Texas. But they consulted with each other and kind of pulled some of the concepts to make that transition from Washington State to Miami smooth. Now you got Brian Callahan. What would be your plan?
So the interesting thing about Cam Ward's time at Miami, Shannon Dawson came from the Dana Holgorsen tree running the air raid. And that's what Cam Ward ran, correct me if I'm wrong, at it Incarnate Word.
Yes.
So that allows him to be able to thrive. So if Brian Callahan is able to pull, which he already said that he's done and they have a plan for that, if they're going to institute some of that, what they ran at Miami, to what they're going to do in Tennessee, I think it's going to work out great and it's going to be a beautiful marriage. And I read your story talking about the seams, right? Like that's something that Cam, four verts, you know, that's something that he really liked to throw in college. So the Titans are going to try to implement that in their playbook. So I'm really excited to see how that works.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing with that. The verticals are good when you have vertical threats. So I'm guessing, so I would, when I do this, like if it were me, the way I would set it up, I would have Io Manor on one side, Ridley on another. Actually, I would probably try to bump Ridley inside, right? I would want Ridley and DK on the inside, you know, the inside receivers. Lockett could be the outside. Bryce Oliver, I don't know. Burks eventually when he – I know Treylon Burks is like a cursed name around here, but he is a vertical threat. So I would have those guys running the slots because you look – and I asked – if you remember, I asked DK about that. You know, look, have you guys talked about the way you could do damage on that crosser? Because you killed that deep crosser at Florida.
Yep.
Cam obviously throws it well. He said they didn't, but that's one thing. You know, have the verts and then you have that bending, that seam kind of bended inside.
Depending
type of
on route. How the safeties are playing.
Right, yep. Of course. Yep. Yeah, so that's one thing that they could do.
Yeah, and so what I noticed about Cam Ward at Miami is he played a lot against cover three style defenses. So if you're running four verts, let's say out of 2x2, and you have two inside seams, depending on where that safety is, you either just if he goes to the left, you could throw it to the right, you know, or vice versa. So if you have Ridley and DK in the slot, you know, those are your two burners, and more than likely, one of those two players is going to get the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, and then if all else fails, you know, you could put it up there and trust Io Manor to win the contested catch. So you do have that. You could run around a little bit, go off schedule if you need to. And that's something that is a very hidden talent of Tyler Lockett. So many times, man, watching Seattle, you know, you saw Russell Wilson do that Tecmo Bowl backwards scramble like Fran Tarkenton and throw the ball down the field, and you just see number 16 – just tracking it down and catching it. So that's something else. I'm really curious how that works. But I thought Brian Callahan, he said something very, very intriguing when he talked about having done it before. I asked him during the pre-draft press conference, like, what is it that makes you confident that this go-round, as opposed to, I know you weren't involved in that, but Jake Locker, right? Vince Young. Marcus Mariota. Those ones didn't work. What makes you think it's going to work this time? And he said, quite frankly, I've done it before. I thought that was a pretty good just confidence in your ability.
Mic drop moment for Brian Callahan, for sure. I mean, he has. He's worked with Matthew Stafford, who I think is probably most similar to Cam Ward out of the guys that Callahan has coached. He's done it with Joe Burrow. So if you're looking at previous Titans coaching staff, if you're going to give anybody the benefit of the doubt, and I'm not saying Brian Callahan's a good coach because we still don't know yet.
Right.
The jury's still out. But he has been able to work with these guys before, not as a head coach, but he's been able to work with these guys. So, and by drafting Cam Ward, I feel like that says that you have to commit to Callahan for at least two seasons.
At least.
And just see how it works.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, you have to commit to him. And here's the thing, right? You mentioned some of the quarterbacks he's worked with before. I think the Joe Burrow one is the most applicable, right? And he said that it just so happened to be COVID, right, when they drafted him. So that meant a lot of virtual meetings. He was able to go back and watch a lot of those. He said that he thought about the install process, how they went about bringing Joe Burrow along. And there was something he said that has stood out to me this whole time. And what he said was how they wanted to make it like year three of LSU for Joe Burrow. I think what you need to do here is make it like year two of Miami. Also, year three and four of Incarnate Word and year four of Washington State, or year three of Washington State. You know what I mean? And what I mean by that is get those concepts in there. Now, obviously, Will Levis is still on the roster. Brandon Allen is still on the roster. Tim Boyle is still on the roster. These are different quarterbacks. So everything is not going to be universal, but knowing that your future is hinged upon, it's hitched to number one, Cam Ward, he needs to be the number one on your depth chart.
So I have an example for you. So I coach a quarterback here in the Middle Tennessee area. He's a dual threat guy, but he feels most comfortable running the football. So in order to get him more acclimated to the passing game, you need to run him a little bit at the start of the game just to get a couple hits, kind of get comfortable, feel the field and everything. Now, each quarterback is different. So I feel like with Cam Ward, you give him some of the same concepts that he ran at Miami to get him comfortable during his rookie season. So that way you can implement more of whatever Brian Callahan wants to do.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. That you load him up with what he's familiar with and what works for him, get the confidence rolling. You get, you know, the comfortable ability, the comfortness in there. You get all that going, and then you could load on top of that. And I think that's the critical part. And here's the other thing. Make sure that you have those RPOs in there. You want to take advantage. Like Cam, one of the things that he does well is he processes. And there was a story. He made a read. Eric Morris had told the story, and there was a read that there was a play call and backside ended up being where it needed to go because of the way the defense shifted. And Eric Morris said he hadn't taught Cam that, but it was just something that a throw that Cam made, and it made sense. And he was like, how did you know that? And he said Cam just was going off of feel and natural instinct. And I think those are things that come with that confidence that you get within the scheme, where you feel like, yo, I know this all the way across the board. And so when you know it all the way across the board and have an understanding, not only what you're supposed to do, but why, which is something that Malik Willis, I'll never forget, in that locker room at the Mercedes-Benz Dome after the third preseason game, after he had those two touchdowns, I asked him why he felt so much more comfortable, and he said this: for the first time, I understand what I'm supposed to do, but even better, I know why I'm supposed to do it.
Yep. I had a coach in high school tell me that it's one thing to be able to do it, but then another thing to explain why.
Yeah.
And one of the things that stuck out about Cam Ward on tape is, you know, he has that feel, and oftentimes when a quarterback has that feel, you can't really put it into words and verbalize why. It's just an instinct that you have. And that's something that Cam Ward, like, he may not always be able to explain why, but he has that football instinct that not a lot of other quarterbacks have.
Yeah, and there's confidence that you have just from the, like, when all else fails, what you fall back on is your technique and preparation. And that's really what builds confidence. And that was something I used to love. Mike Vrabel would talk about that. He said, you know, we build confidence and momentum throughout the week. That's what he would say, you know. And he would talk about the work that they put in and how you could be confident that you're going to be prepared for the moment because of the work you put in leading up to that moment. And that is so true. And here's the other thing also when you look at this, right, because I've noticed when I put that story out about how they're making things comfortable for Cam Ward, you know, so many people are coming out and saying, hey, well, why didn't he do that for Will Levis? What are you talking about? He did just that. Well, he attempted to, Brian Callahan, that is. They had the play action deep shots. They had vertical routes in there, knowing that Levis liked to throw the football down the field. It just didn't work out for a few reasons, right? You look at this offensive line, you can't really run too many vertical routes, you know, with the way that offensive line was. But then you also look at, there were times where reads were there, but Levis just didn't pull the trigger. And then there were other times where, you know, Levis fled the pocket and, you know, things didn't work out because of that. There's a mixture of things. So I don't think the organization necessarily failed Will Levis. And I don't think that Levis, you know, failed the organization. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, that's the simplest way to put it.
Yeah.
It just did not work.
Right. And so now it's time to turn the page. The Titans clearly have done that by selecting Cam Ward, number one overall. The page has been turned.
Yeah. And I'm not putting so much stock in this quarterback competition because you drafted Cam Ward number one overall for a reason. Yeah, like you may want to split reps at the start, but eventually Cam Ward's going to pull away.
Yeah. And look, and I think it's all relative, right? Like when you say a competition, I mean, I could say I have a sports car, right? That could be a Honda Prelude, but it could also be, you know, a Ferrari F9 or F8. You know what I mean? There's variations of a sports car, just like there's variations of a competition. You want the guys to compete against each other. You want that 100%. But, you know, there's also an understanding like, yeah, it's a competition, but ultimately the job is going to number one.
Yeah. And I think it's more so of an iron sharpening iron type thing. And bringing Brandon Allen in, who I don't know why I just thought of this, but worked with Joe Burrow all those years in Cincinnati,
yeah,
a former number one overall pick, you might be able to pass some of that down to Cam Ward. So
yeah. That's a great point, you know, and that's something that I said when they signed him. Yeah, look, he's not the best backup quarterback in the world. But the good thing is he's seen this movie before, right? He was a part of the install process and the onboarding process for a guy who you know is going to be in charge of turning the atmosphere, restoring the respect for the organization. It's going to start with the quarterback, the guy that just drafted number one.
Yeah, and it's a very similar situation to Cincinnati because the offensive line in Tennessee looks a lot different on paper, but over the past 3-4 seasons has not been very good. Joe Burrow has not had a good offensive line in Cincinnati since he got drafted there. So it's very, very similar situations.
Yeah, and, you know, another thing that I think is intriguing in this is you got to see Mike Borgonzi was a part of, and I'm saying a part of, right? So he's not responsible for it, but he was a part of that situation where they grabbed a quarterback and they marinated him for almost a year. He started with the last 2 or 3 games. And then the next year he started. And guess what? They haven't failed to make an AFC championship game since, which is remarkable. But then you got the other side where they drafted a guy. He's the one. He's under center from the moment he joins the team. So you're getting to see both sides of the party. I think everything is a case-by-case basis. And it's not only a case-by-case according to the player, also the situation. There are some situations where, hey, look, man, like the guy just has to play. And if he doesn't pan out, he's not the one. You know, because you have this whole thing where it's like, okay, you let the quarterback play right away. You got to be careful not to ruin him. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah.
If he's him, he's not going to be ruined.
Yeah. And it's kind of a mixture of the situation because in Kansas City, I mean, they already had kind of an ideal setup roster-wise and then implemented Patrick Mahomes in there, whereas in Cincinnati – they didn't necessarily have the same structure around Burrow, but he started day one.
Right.
Cam Ward's going to start day one, but they've started with the offensive line, built up the offensive line. And they've kind of built around Cam Ward a little bit. So it's a mixture of both.
Hey, from the Titans, I'm traded up for Jeremiah Smith in a couple years. Nah. Oh, did you see Chris Henry's son? He signed with Ohio State? So that's going to be the next great receiver.
Yeah.
Man. So there's going to be some receivers. That's ultimately what this team has to do, get a receiver first, second round, early pick, a guy that could come in and grow with Cam Ward. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back. We'll continue this conversation somewhat and run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Here we go. The music fades. The lights are dim. And now, coming to you live from Seattle, Washington. Starting at center for your Supersonics. Out of Port-au-Prince, Haiti, Virginia University, number zero, Odin Polynice.
And now, starring for the Atlanta Hawks, Mookie Blaylock.
You know, there was a group, a music group, who named themselves after Mookie Blaylock. You believe that?
Hey, I will give you $1,000 on the spot if you can tell me what his first name is. His real name is
Mookie's.
No, yeah, his real name.
Calvin.
No, man. It was Deron O'Shea.
Wow, he said, "Just call me Mookie." I tell you a funny story about Mookie Blaylock.
Okay.
I was a kid. I don't remember how. I was a teenager. And I remember, like, so we used to go to the Spectrum. And we would always go around the back after the games. And there's a little let-out area because there was, like, a little club and a little, like, a lounge at the Spectrum where the Sixers played. And so we would go back there. I met Manute Bol there. I met Charles Barkley.
Oh, wow.
We'd always go back there to meet the players, right? And so I was standing back there, and for whatever reason, it was against the Hawks. For whatever reason, the Hawks players were waiting there too. And I'm sitting there, and I was talking to Mookie Blaylock, and some kid walked up to him and said, "Hey, Mike, can I get your autograph?" And Mookie looked at me, and I looked at him, and we just started laughing. It was the funniest. Wow. So every time I hear Mookie Blaylock, that's what I think. But he had a nice little game, though.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he does look like Michael Jordan a little bit. I mean, the ears and everything. But,
yeah,
you know, once I look at him even more, he does look exactly like you, like twins, like real
Yo,
twins.
Yo, it's funny. This must be a day of twins because Odin Polynice, boy, you look him up, he looks just like you. Just a 7-foot version. So we got through rookie mini camp last week.
Absolutely.
Saw some different things.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was – so a couple things, right? So T.J. Sherfield, Alec Iomanner, they both – I'm trying to remember the exact – right? It was on crossing routes. They both on slants. They both, like, the ball hit their hands, and it was like, you know, there was – it was just a fight.
He's on
the ground. That's how the ball was on, right on the ground. Yeah. I'm guessing it was nerves.
No.
I don't know. But
no.
When you got into rookie minicamp, what was that like for you, like battling the nerves and getting out there for the first time?
I think the nervousness was when I first walked into the meeting room. I mean, it was people that I never saw, coaches that I never saw, and things like that. But once I got on the field, because first of all, I went in there with a chip on my shoulder. I'm mad at everybody, so I didn't care. It ain't that I wasn't nervous, but I wanted to prove to them that I can play this game. I want to prove to them that I can be in the starting rotation. So I went out there with a chip on my shoulder, and the first route that I caught was a slant. And I caught a slant, and I just, boom, and everybody's head turned. So when everybody's head turned, it kind of took the nervousness away, because you got to understand. So when you're coming in there as a rookie, everything has been, when I say scrutinized, I mean not looking bad, but everything has been under a microscope. That everything you do, like, can this guy play? How does he handle when he drops the ball? What does he do? Does he make mistakes? So all these things that you're thinking through in his head. And in my mind is, okay, I'm going to line up, and if I have to go, if somebody presses me, they're getting dealt with. You see, and that's the kind of mentality that you got to have going in, because if they see that you come into mini camp and you're throwing the, they're throwing the ball on air and it's a fight, it's Rocky and Apollo fighting.
Yeah.
Like, uh-oh.
Yeah, you can't have that.
Yeah, and here's the deal. We saw this when A.J. Brown first came in. It was no question he can catch the ball. Mm-hmm. It was no question. Mittens, got it. Let's eat. We, oh, man, it ain't even a question. He wasn't fighting it. But if you're on air right now with no pressure and you can't catch the football, I don't know, man.
It's not good. Well, maybe, and again, I think it was probably nerves. They came back later and yeah. they rebounded. Iron Manor, you know, looked pretty good for the most part. So I give him that. But I'm just curious how that whole thing plays out. But yeah. when you got there, because you talked about setting the tone, setting the message yeah. and those types of things. So that's something you did at rookie minicamp. But then when the vets got in, like, what was your initial impression getting to know or just meeting the vets?
It was terrifying, just like it was. Because when I walked in, you see, you know, the giant guys like Bruce Matthews, Brad Hopkins. I mean, just giants and big men and, you know, guys that been in the league for a long, long time. But here's what I did. I had to go out there and I had to earn my respect. And I'm going to tell you how I earned my respect. I come out there and, you know, everybody's talking about how fast I was. Oh, you're from the Ohio State University. So Blaine Bishop said, in one-on-one, this is the first one-on-one that I'm going against. And Blaine Bishop calls me out. He says, Ohio State, come out here. Let me see what you got. He said that. So he was off about 5 or 6 yards. I ran the post live with my eyes, had him be, and I'm not exaggerating, I had him be for about 7 or 8 to 10 yards. He said, yep, I'm not even playing with this dude no more. Once you set the stone with a veteran guy, then Chris Dishman, the next day, he says, come out here, Ohio State, and he would go against me every day and also teach me, okay, Chris, you can't do that. I'm doing this. When I run, I try to stop the momentum with your hands, so do another swim. So when you gain the respect of the guys that played in the league, you're like, okay, I sit back now, I can play this game. Why? Because I'm going against the best and I'm beating the best in practice, so I can play this game.
No, that makes sense a lot. I could picture that, you know. Blaine, come on, Ohio State. Let me see what you got.
And he bow-legged too.
Yeah.
I thought he was bow-legged too. I'm like, wait a minute.
Across he was.
Come on. He's a strong safety. Come on out. Okay, I see what I'm dealing with. But I hit him with touchdown. He said, I'm done. I ain't going. He never went against me again. So that's how you set the tone.
How about with McNair, the initial? Because obviously, you know, the ties are going to be there, Cam Ward, Steve McNair. Will compare their games, et cetera. But how about with him? Like, what were some of the early things you saw from him in rookie minicamp or just, you know, when you guys first got there?
You know what I love about Steve is he was very coachable. I mean, he came in with a lot of hype and everybody's talking what he can do and talk about the athlete, the strong arm. But just listen to him, listen to the quarterback's coach and the offensive coordinator. At that time, it was Jerry Rome. He was listening to him. He was listening to Les Steckel. He became his quarterback coach later on down the road. But just watching him learn, watching him soak it in to where at the beginning, yes, he struggled. He struggled with, you know, reading the defense a little bit, because when you get in the league, it's so complex that, you know, you don't know when this guy's blitzing. They can blitz off the slot to be zoned at the top, so he had to understand that. But here's what he did: after every play, he was consistently in a coach's face. So now I have a situation to where he's in a coach's face. Then all of a sudden, me and him start doing one-on-one reps. Once me and him start doing one-on-one reps, he started to coach me. Hey, Chris, I want you to do this. This is what I'm looking for. When I run a post, I'm throwing it to a spot. So once I heard him, you know, verbalize what he wants, then now I can be one of his guys where he can make plays to.
Yeah. I really look forward to seeing this Cam Ward thing play out.
Me too. Me too.
If you had to tell him, you know, you saw McNair's process.
Yeah.
So if you had to tell Ward something from what you experienced watching McNair's process carry out, what would that one gem be?
Two of them, actually, is you just said the word is trust the process. Number two is consistently be coachable. Actually, three, consistently be in the film room. Because we always talk about, you know, the sky in the sky don't lie. The eye in the sky don't lie. Mm-hmm. So what you got to do is take what you see and improve on it each and every day. It's kind of like, I like giving stories. I remember watching Rocky. In Rocky II, he was fighting Apollo Creed. He lost to him the first time and the second time. His trainer, check this out, his trainer came up to him and said this. He said, if you're going to beat Apollo Creed, you got to do something that you've never done, and you got to focus on and improve your weakness. So what he did is he tied his right hand behind his back and had him box left-handed.
Yeah.
So when he boxed left-handed, he gets in the ring and he starts to fight southpaw because he trained his weakness to become an asset. So the thing that I would tell Cam Ward is find out what your weakness is. And make that weakness better. I know you may have a strong arm and throwing it into a window, but find that weakness and build on that weakness and get better, and it becomes an asset in your life.
Is there something in watching him that you could identify as an area for improvement?
I just think that, and this is just me, and I'm just looking at it, just watching it. You know, when you start to throw the ball on your back foot, I mean, you're gonna get away with that in college. But when you get to the pros and you try to throw it, the backside of the defense, guys are watching your eyes. Guys are watching your body language. So they know is if you throw it off your back feet, they're going to know where you're going. So I think that may be one area that he can get better. When I say throwing it off his back foot, I mean like when he's rolling out. When he's rolling out and he throws it off his back foot and he tries to throw it on the opposite side of the field.
Yeah, across his body. Yeah.
Across his body. So when you're in the league, guys are smart. Guys are going to stay home. That even if you roll out, the safeties or the defensive backs are going to stay home. So if he can improve on that and get better and focus on where his reads are, I think he's going to be a great quarterback in his league.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that because I know in a couple games I watched, and that was something that he did, and you're like, oh,
you
wow.
See? Yep.
You know, and that's that's the big thing. As a coach, how do you look at that, though? Because it's like, all right, I want your playmaking ability to remain at a high level, but I want you to be safe with the football.
Yep. Be safe with the football, but don't change his ability. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. When I came in as a wide receiver, Les Stecker was my wide receiver coach. And you know how coaches want you to have – a certain kind of stance. Oh, you got to do this. You got to do that. This is what Les Stegel said. He said, I want you to get in a stance that you feel comfortable with. And I think that's the same thing with Cam Ward and listen to the coaches. I think coaches don't change a whole bunch. Find out what he does well that he feels comfortable with, and then he's going to play at a level that his skill set demands. And it's just where he feels comfortable. When you have a quarterback, a wide receiver, a defensive back, or a receiver that plays at a comfort level, he's going to play fast and play up to his ability.
Now, speaking of comfort, that's something that we talked about in the opening segment. A part of that comfort is, you know, having the scheme friendly to him, right, and familiar to him. How important do you think that is for Brian Callahan to work through it and be like, hey, look, you know, I saw you did these, you know, you like to go vertical. You asked me for switch verts. We're going to put it in here, this, that, and third.
Yeah. I just think that they got to go back to where he played in Miami. Put on some of that film and say, okay, this is what this cat does well. This is what he wants. This is what he thrives in. And as a coach, then you got to just let him play football. Okay, he does this thing. And it's like you don't want to overwhelm him with a whole bunch of stuff. You want to overwhelm him with the stuff that he does well. I don't know what that is. I mean, I do know what it is, but there's some things that he can improve on. But find out what he's comfortable with. If it's standing a shotgun, stay in the shotgun. I know he hasn't been under center a lot, but if he's good at shotgun, don't put him underneath center where he's not familiar with. So it's just those little things that Brian Callahan has to do. Find out what's comfortable, find out what he does well, and let him thrive off what he does well.
How much of that do you think should be influenced by the other quarterbacks, by Will Levis, by Brandon Allen, et cetera?
I mean, this is how I coach, and I coach wide receivers that, you know, each person does something different better. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. There's one guy that may run the post well that doesn't run the post well. There's one guy that might run a comeback well, but the other one might not run a comeback well. So I'm looking at all my quarterbacks. I got Boyles. I got Allen. I got, you know, Will Levis. I'm going to coach those guys differently, but still in the same scheme, still same verbiage, but they may do something different, but still try to get the same results. So even though, you know, you may tweak a little bit for Cam Ward, you still got to stay underneath the scheme of what you're teaching.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You have your core concepts, but you veer out a little bit in order to accommodate your number one pick. Is it wrong? Is it a way too early coronation of Ward to do that? Because I've seen some fans say, hey, you know, I'm tired of it. They're giving them too much already, and this, that, and the third.
Giving them too much as in, like, too much of the playbook?
Changing the plays to him or concepts, giving him number one, trying to build around all of those things.
But he's your number one draft pick. Right. I mean, you better build around him. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because if he doesn't play well, then it's another black eye on the franchise. So exactly. You got to put him in position to where he can excel. You got to get him players that help him excel. You got to give him an offense to where he excels. Because if you create an offense and just say, he's just going to be a drop-back quarterback, he's not going to scramble, that's not his forte.
Right.
Then now you're creating a robot as opposed to letting a guy, you know, flourish in his skill set.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's like if I play wide receiver and I know I run a 4.12 and you telling me to run a post, I ain't getting open.
It
ain't happening because my speed won't allow me to get there because you're trying to tell me to do something that I ain't good at.
Yeah. I mean,
but if you're talking about, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But if you're talking about choice routes, if you're talking about slants, if you're talking about seams, if you're talking about digs, I do what I do, just like what we're talking about with Strebel. I'm not going to ask him to run a go route. I'm not going to ask him to run a post. I'm going to ask him to run a choice us. I'm going to ask him to run the digs. Why? Because he got quick feet to do what he does well, and that's why he's with the Tennessee Titans, man.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say with Strebel. You're not asking him to run vertical. Yeah. But see, and that's the thing. That's when you know you're a good coach, a good manager.
There you go.
A good personnel, whatever it is, to where you're putting people in position, you try to showcase and highlight what they do best. So that's a great point that you made there. Yep. We'll see what happens. I tell you, it's pretty crazy, man. So let me earlier today,
okay,
I did a career fair, right, at College Street Elementary School, believe it or not.
No way, that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. And, you know, got to talk to a lot of the kids. It's all out in somewhere called Manchester, Tennessee. I had no clue where I was. I just followed the GPS and they got me there. But one of the kids, when I told them my name, they could not believe that it was me. And I'm thinking, like, they're happy because they're meeting me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they said, you know, I have to tell you, my dad, he watched this old movie called Lilies of the Field. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, yeah, it's called Lilies of the Field. There's this guy, this actor. And I never realized until just now that's the one that you do the Run TMC segment with. And I'm looking at him like, what? I said, no. That's not Chris Sanders you're talking about. That's Sidney Poitier.
This is Tavondre Sweat, and I'm talking with TD.
You are now rapping, I love that beat right there, man. One of my favorite 50 Cent tracks right there. Look, the Titans won't be going to New York City, but they will be going to some pretty cool destinations. Low-key, Parker, Indianapolis is one of my favorite cities, man. I love getting to go there, obviously for the Combine, but also for the Colts game, man. St. Elmo's, hit them up. Go around the corner to Burn Cigar Bar, man. It's always a great night. Catching up with my guy, Stephen Holder. So that's always a highlight of the trip. That's something we know is happening every week. You got Houston, or every year you got Houston, Jacksonville also. But you look at some of these away destinations, you know, Arizona, Denver, Cleveland, San Francisco, and Viva Las Vegas. What away destination is most intriguing to you?
I got two. So, week one in Mile High, Bo Nix versus Cam Ward. I think that would be an interesting quarterback matchup. I'm really excited for the Cleveland game because I think there's a good chance that Shedeur Sanders will be the starter. Shedeur Sanders versus Cam Ward. We saw all their offseason interactions. So, I think that could be a fun one if Shedeur is going to be the starter.
Absolutely. I tell you, when I look at these destinations, man, if you just go off of, like, what place is going to be coolest to go, man, it's tough. I'm going to go with San Francisco for me. Like, not talking about the team, but just talking about the city. I love the Bay Area. It's going to be really cool to get back out there. I remember seeing City Field. Hey, listen, the Mets are on my mind all the time, baby. I remember seeing Levi Stadium built. I saw City Field built too, but I remember, you know, and it was pretty cool. We got to tour Nissan Stadium a few weeks ago. I remember touring Levi Stadium when they were building that. So it brought back good memories. But obviously the team too, you know, that's a pretty good measuring stick. No Deebo Samuel, no Halafunga, Talua Halafunga, the safety, no Dre Greenlaw. So the team's going to be a little bit different, but still a threat nonetheless. So that's going to be a game to watch. I think it's going to be pretty cool to finally get to see Allegiant Stadium also. Looking forward to that. But when you talk about the best matchup to me, I'm going to stick with what you said, and that's Denver. This team is easily a top five defense. And now you look, I mentioned, you know, the safety, Hufanga. I'm going to pronounce his name right one day, but that's my attempt at it. You look at him and you look at Dre Greenlaw. These are guys who are now on the Broncos defense. And they drafted Jade Barron. Like, this defense is legit.
Oh, yeah. No, and really, I mean, the defense has been pretty good for Denver the last few seasons. But I'm excited to see offensively, you know, Sean Payton in year one with Bo Nix. Bo Nix was a Sean Payton guy, had Sean Payton written all over him. Mm-hmm. And now they go out and they draft a running back in R.J. Harvey from UCF.
Yeah.
Sean Payton loves his running backs too. So I'm excited to see how he pairs the run game with the pass game. I do think that would be a really good matchup though.
What do you think is going to be the toughest opponent, like the toughest destination for them?
I'd probably say the Bay Area, just because I have higher expectations for the 49ers out of all the opponents the Titans will play on the road. I think the Colts could be a pretty intriguing matchup. I couldn't tell you who the starting quarterback will be at that point, but Tyler Warren.
Yeah, Dallas Clark part two.
Yeah.
He should wear number 44.
Man.
He should wear 44.
Man. I mean, that dude is a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
And I kind of hate it that the Titans have to play him twice a year, but I think that'll be an interesting matchup too.
So when you flip it to – okay, let me ask you this. If you had to pick one of those to be the biggest ticket out of all the away games, which one would it be?
The biggest ticket in terms of like all the away games?
Yeah.
I'd probably say one of the divisional matchups.
Really?
I'd probably say, I mean, what about the Texans? Like, I think that could be a high ticket depending on how the Titans meet or exceed expectations for the season,
mm-hmm.
just because those rivalries, it seems like, especially in the AFC South, I feel like that could be a pretty high ticket.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm going to go with Cleveland, and off of the assumption that Shedeur Sanders will be the starter, I think that's going to be the most attractive game on the schedule as far as for fans, for media, for everything like that. The hoopla. Cam Ward
TV
versus
will be
Shedeur
all over
Sanders.
That. Yeah, TV will be all over that.
Yeah, so that one. Now, when you look at the home games, I it's a pretty good – let's take Kansas City out because it's easy to say, hey, Patrick Mahomes, Cam Ward. If I'm Eric Morris, like, they need to make sure they find a way for Eric Morris to be there. He coached both of them, you know. So I think Kansas City is easily the most attractive one. I believe that the Patriots coming to Nissan Stadium. Tell me about that. Like, what does that mean to
you? I mean, it's just cheating because Mike Vrabel's making his return to Nissan Stadium on the opposite sideline.
Harold Landry. And
considering how good of a game that was last year, you have Drake May in year two bringing in Cam Ward, a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be that one.
That game was like getting two turtles and making them race.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Nobody really wants to see it, but it's intriguing. Like, hey, which turtle is going to finish first? And it ended up having a lot to do with the Titans getting the number one pick, and now here we are. I mean, there's so many storylines in that one. You look at the coaching staff, you know, Todd Downing, Terrell Williams, Tony Dews, Clint McMillan. There's so many. The cornerbacks coach, his name slips my mind. He was assistant corner coach with the Titans. I mean, there's – you got Stretch, right? John Stretcher, striker. You look at so many guys. You got Ryan Cowden, who was with the Giants for some time. He's back. I mean, it's – you got Dr. Gibby, Jack Gibbons. I mean,
Harold Landry.
You got Landry. You got Isaiah Iton. Like, there's player after player after player after player. So that's a matchup. What other ones – which of the L.A. games do you think stand out?
I'm really excited for the Chargers.
Yeah?
Just because I like Justin Herbert. I've been a fan of Justin Herbert since he was – during his time at Oregon. I'm really excited to see the Chargers. And Jim Harbaugh is going to have them playing some elite football here soon, I believe.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that.
Not only elite football, but some physical football.
Oh, yeah.
People forget Jim Harbaugh prides himself on – yeah, he's a former quarterback. But that dude, you look at those Niners teams, right? You look at Michigan, how they – and listen, he prides himself on being physical. That's going to be a fun game. My guy, man, my dog, man, Bud Dupree, coming back with the Chargers. I can't wait to see that, man. Bud is always a good dude to run into. Definitely look forward to that. The Rams are going to be interesting. I think you look at, you know, Matthew Stafford going against Brian Callahan. Like, oh, what a great matchup there, too. New Orleans, we'll see. Seattle, it just hit me. That's going to be the Tyler Lockett revenge game.
That's right. Yeah.
Pretty cool. So if you look at this record prediction, what would you say?
I'm feeling as of right now, as of May 14th, 2025, I think 7-10 is pretty reasonable.
Okay. I was right there. I was thinking 6-11, right? They double their wins. I think that's solid. I just wonder if that will be enough. The pressure's definitely on Brian Callahan. We know this. I just wonder if that would be enough for them to keep him around. Me personally, I'm keeping him around. You go 6-11, you're going to get a pretty solid pick. You get yourself a receiver. You continue to load the wagon and see what happens.
Well, the thing about that, if they go 7-10, that's a 4-win improvement.
Yeah.
Which I feel like warrants, okay, like they improved by 4 wins, even though they didn't finish above 500 or even 500 for that matter. They improved their win total by last year by 4. And there's hope because of what Cam Ward could turn into.
Yeah, and, I mean, you look at this, right? Unfortunately, they'll have to be bad for another 2 years in order to get Jeremiah Smith. But, I mean, there are going to be some solid receivers to come out that they could do. But, obviously, you don't want to lose just to get into that position. At the same time, you do want to make sure that 2027 opens up and you're in the best possible winning scenario. We'll see what happens, though.
Yep. Time will tell. Time will certainly tell.
Absolutely. And speaking of time, we are just about out of that. So we appreciate each of you for tuning in. Definitely shout out to Chris Sanders coming on, man. We're going to keep this rolling. We'll give you more and more and more as we go along. So continue to check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, everywhere you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.